Well, good morning, WMB. How are you this morning? How's WMB doing this morning? We all awake? There we go. We have a little bit of a different morning for you this morning. So I didn't have to travel. I didn't start in Kitchener. I'm here with you today. This morning, and the reason behind that is that this is a Vision Sunday. We're going to try to paint a picture of where it is that we're going through the teachings that we've been talking about over the past 4 weeks. And so Adam and Mike, Adam's the site pastor over at the Kitchener site, they're taking the lead at that site, and myself and Brad are going to be sharing with you guys today. And so we decided that since we're going to be a couple hours, we'll sit like all of you, yeah, and we'll do that. So Brad will be joining me very soon, I'm assuming, coming out of a baptism, and we have another baptism again at the end of the service that I'll be going to do. And so I apologize to you folks over there. I'll keep reminding and waving, hi, way over there, yeah. But I'm going to have a seat because we're going to be here a while. So thanks for joining us. I should probably not look like a slob. Thanks for joining us. As many of you know, we've been tracking through a series on ekklesia, the Greek word that that the scriptures use to describe the church. And so we translate that word ekklesia into church. Why would we bother doing a series like this? I mean, sometimes we get a little lost in what we call visioning, and we come up with fancy lines and all kinds of different things. And you know, it's fascinating because, you know, the church is what the scriptures call it to be, and sometimes I think we overcomplicate that, but sometimes we need to back up a little bit. And so why did we bother doing this? Well, we felt like we were feeling a little adrift, that the church, WMB specifically, needed to work a little bit more on focus. How could we become a little bit more focused as a church? And how could we develop some deeper conviction around what it means to be the church? And so we brought someone into the staff team first to lead us through some conversations, some collaborative conversations. Because if you're just looking for me or Brad to figure all of this out and say, and this is what we're gonna do, folks, come with us, it probably wouldn't go that well. And so we wanted to make this process as collaborative as possible. And so we began to do these different conversations. And so the staff team did this over the summer months, actually. And we had some really fruitful times. And it was great that we had a different person leading it rather than myself, because it really up-earthed some stuff that we needed to kind of walk through as a staff team. And then, as many of you remember, we hosted two vision nights, a vision night here at the Waterloo site in the chapel and a vision night over at the Kitchener site. And it was wonderful to see the mixture. It wasn't all Waterloo at Waterloo and all Kitchener at Kitchener. It was beautifully mixed. And we were really just doing that to gain some insight. Like, are we out to lunch completely? We want to hear from the people. And if we're going to do this collaboratively, we need to find ways to do that. And so we had these wonderful vision nights. Now, we have two statements that we've had, I think, for quite a while.
Yeah, long time.
Yeah. And so let me just unpack this very quickly for you. So we have a vision statement, which is the sort of the what we would love to be one day. You know, it's the goal. It's the mark of what we're aiming to be. Now, theologically, the mark is Jesus. Really, it's that simple. Our vision is to become like, to be with, to become like, and to do what Jesus did. But we phrase it like this: to be people transformed by Jesus Christ with faith to change the world. And so that's a big statement that we could probably have a lot of deep conversations around how we're not getting there quite yet. And so the mission is how we get there. And so WMB is a covenant community called by God through Jesus Christ to make more and better disciples. And so for years here at WMB, you've heard the language of more and better disciples. Like it or love it, that's what it says. of all people by calling them to join us in responding. So this is important, to join us in responding to God's love through repentance, baptism, and love for God and neighbor. So to be people transformed by Jesus Christ with faith to change the world, it begins with responding to God's love through repentance, baptism, and love for God and neighbor. That's what these statements are essentially saying. And so through these vision nights, we heard from many of you of what we, I had a question about if you woke up in the morning and WMB was exactly the church God called it to be, what would that look like? And that was the question that we were aiming to answer. And so between the staff time together and the congregational time together, this led us to this conclusion. It's time to back up the bus. Right? Now, when you back up a bus, it's got a beep noise. Like, you're very aware that the bus is backing up, right? Usually. Anyway, it's time to back up the bus a bit. And what I mean by that is, we really just need to, as a church, get back to the core root of what the church has always been called to be. Now, I taught on this for 4 weeks. And so if you're kind of new or you're just showed up today and you're like, what is going on? There's two handsome guys sitting at the front, you know, sitting in chairs. This is a weird church. You can go back and you can listen to the sermon series that we just taught through. And it begins to address what we mean by what the church has always been called to be. And so here is the focus statement that we feel birthed out of the feedback from all of you, the prayer time that we had together, the feedback and prayer times we had as a staff team, that our focus is this: being a Bible-based, Spirit-led, mission-focused local church. So I'll say that again. Being a Bible-based, Spirit-led, mission-focused local church. And so you see three values embedded into that statement: the value of the Bible, the Spirit, and mission, joining God on his mission, and then expressing that as a local church. Because we have small C church and we have big C church. We have the church across the world. So this is the core, we believe, of who God is calling us to be. This is why we just did this whole four-part teaching, trying to answer this bigger question. Like I said, if we became, as WMB, the church that God was calling us to be, what would this look like? And how would we go about living this out? Now, this morning, we want to try and answer some of those questions, but I do need to put a caveat to that. If you came this morning thinking, oh, they're going to lay out the perfect plan and we will implement that perfect plan to perfection, you are looking at the wrong people on stage and you're probably at the wrong church. Nothing will be perfect. Why? Because it involves human beings who are seeking God's will, and God is revealing that will to us. The Apostle Paul talks about the mystery that's been revealed to us, but this isn't complete. And it's not programmatic in nature. And so we're not going to roll out, well, we're going to do this program for you, and we're going to do that program for you, and this program will accomplish this, and that program will accomplish that. That's not what we're trying to do this morning. So this is all in the context of the teaching that we've been given. And we need, here's the important piece. Actually, if you kind of caught it, in the entire sermon series, what I was really saying is we should rely on God more than ourselves. And the body needs to function as the body. That's really the two main points of the whole sermon series. When we put Jesus ahead of all things and we seek him in all things and trust him in all things, and then the body lives into the gifts that the Spirit has given, then you have the church being the Bible-based, Spirit-led church that it's called to be. Yeah. And so we need you to participate. Remember I talked about if you're just watching, if you're just like, if coming to church for you is just coming, sitting in a really comfy seat and critiquing how poorly Brad preached this week, you know, different things like that. Like, that's not actually being the church. I'm not sure what that is, a waste of an hour and a half. Being the church is active, is participatory.
Amen.
Because we've been given gifts, and we've been called into living into those gifts. And so we want to invite you into this, but we do want to share a few things around what this could look like.
Yeah. You know, what gets me really excited about this is that we're being called to something, right? When we back the bus up and we kind of take a look at everything, we see that we're being called to something. You know, Jesus routinely taught and he performed miracles and he would heal the sick and he would serve the poor and all that. But then he would say something really simple and profound. Come, follow me. He said it over and over again, and then he would extend that invitation, and people had to opt in. He didn't force anyone. He didn't belittle them if they chose to walk away. And I think right now, and getting into this discussion excites me, because I feel like as a church, we're kind of getting back to this, like, oh yeah, Jesus is calling us to follow him as individuals and as a church. And I certainly know in my life recently, I've been kind of hearing that voice a little bit more, Brad, just come and follow me more and more and more with your life. And so I think he's reaching out. He's leading us into something, into deeper life as a church. And that gets me really excited. I think I've got more hope right now for our church than I've had in a little while, to be honest. Yeah. And so I hope that you are excited about it too, and that you will also respond to that invitation of come, follow me. That's what Jesus is calling us to today. Yeah, man.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. It's really that simple, isn't it, folks?
It really is.
Follow him. Enter into his kingdom. That's what Jesus preached, was the kingdom of God is at hand. It's arrived through him. That's it. That's exactly what we're called to live into. But before we get into what that looks like for us, Brad, will you pray for us?
I would love to. Actually, church, if you're willing, just put out your hands in a posture of receiving from the Spirit. Jesus, we want to just come before you open and ready, because we truly believe that you are calling us to something good, something great. In fact, you said we would do greater things even than you did. And I pray that you would speak to our hearts this morning, that you would get us excited for the work you want to do through this church. I'm blown away that you would choose us, that we just simply get to come along for the ride in what you are already doing here in this world. And I pray we would accept that invitation, that we would opt in, that we would choose to follow after you with the way we live our lives, not just how we consume something or watch, listen, but how we live. Yeah. So Holy Spirit, we invite you in. We want to receive what you have for us today. In Jesus' name I pray.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. So we built this framework, very simple, four words, gather, grow, serve, and go. And so in the first week of the series, we address the practice, and so we're purposely saying these are practices. These are not, this is not a vision statement. These are just practices that the scriptures call the church into. And they're practices that interlinked together, so they don't sit alone. They're things, these are four key practices that we're called into in order to be the church. And we talked in the first week about gathering together, that the scriptures actually show us three ways in which the church gathered together. Now, there's always kind of, I always think it's funny when I teach occasionally on the early church, and people always say, yeah, like we got to get back to Acts chapter 2. We got to be the early church. And so therefore, that means that we meet in homes. And so in the sermon that week, we established that that's actually not true. Yes, they did meet in homes, but they met in three different ways, and often circumstances, things like persecution and things like that, created the atmosphere in which they met. And so there was three key ways that they would meet. They would meet in large gatherings. We heard that in Acts chapter 2, in the temple courts or Solomon's colonnade, or the Solomon's porch, some people call it, where they would gather. And there was 3,000 people at the very beginning who would gather there. And they would gather to worship and celebrate God at work in their lives. And then there were smaller gatherings than that, you know, 12 to 15 people, and that was more the home church kind of structure, where people could dig into more intimate community and share and learn about scripture and living life on mission. That's what they were trying to do, even in the midst of persecution. They valued gathering together, and so they would find ways in which to do that. And then there was also smaller groups of 2 to 3 where someone with deeper maturity would then mentor someone or disciple someone who was growing in the faith. And so we see all of these three different ways of gathering in the scriptures. And each of these ways of gathering are really important. So we want to offer, as WMB, ways that we can get connected to different types of gatherings. So we know that gathering's important. I think over COVID, we learned that being together is better than mm-hmm. not. At least many of us learned that. And so we believe that it is very important. But we need to change a little bit how we're going about doing some of these things. So in our gatherings, specifically the big gathering, the one we're attending right now, we're going to be living into, and I talked about this, a more communal expression. We talked about the gifts and inviting people in, that the Spirit has given us everything that we need. And so we want to begin to offer opportunity for you to express and live into those gifts by inviting other people to be involved. And so it's not just going to be the staff team and things like that up here. Our worship team is predominantly volunteers often. And there's many different areas in which people can get engaged in the service itself. And so we want to make some of those shifts. I can't lay out for you what all of those things are because we are waiting to receive the giftings to hear from you. And so if you've got something, email Brad at bradshirk, WMB. No, you can email me, Brad, anybody on the team that's involved in the service and say, hey, I have an idea. And so we want to invite you into that and also make our gatherings more communal. It's a little weird that you sit in comfy chairs and stare at us. And church could be a little bit different.
Well, we're in comfy chairs today. This is great.
Yeah.
I could get used to this.
Yeah. So one of the key pieces of gathering together is to worship and praise. And so I'm going to invite Leah to come on up here. And Leah just happens to be married to Brad.
Hey, honey.
And so I thought if anybody's going to straighten up these two guys up here, Leah's going to take care of it.
Why not?
So Leah is the worship director, worship pastor, whatever we want to call her. That's a thing around here. But anyway, and so she oversees worship here at the Waterloo site and then communications. So all the multimedia and different things that are happening. Leah does just a bang up job at handling all of that across both locations. Yeah. Yeah. And so Leah, can you share a little bit about how we can begin to shape and model a culture of worship? So you're going to hear that language. You heard it last year when we presented about how it's a culture shift. And so you're going to use, you'll hear that language a lot. We're not just developing a heart of worship. We actually want to, as WMB, develop a culture of worship. And so can you share a little bit about how we can begin to shape and model a culture of worship here at WMB?
Our services, I've been experimenting with the order. I don't know if you've noticed that announcements have happened a little bit earlier in the service. And there was an intentional reason behind experimenting with that shift. And that was to allow more space for worship and to have Spirit-led worship. Sometimes when you look at the logistics of it, announcements in the middle of a worship service sometimes can kill the spirit. And so I've been experimenting with how can we create space for the spirit to speak to our worship leaders and to speak to you. And so we're still kind of playing around with that, but it's been really exciting to have that freedom to allow the Spirit to speak to us in our services on Sunday. And it's more than just coming, singing a couple songs to wait to get to that message where that's where the Spirit's going to speak to you. And yeah, so that's been really exciting. And of course, I know the Spirit doesn't just speak in worship music, and there's other ways of worship, whether it be in tech or visual arts or dance or all that sort of stuff. But I'm going to speak specifically to the music aspect of it.
Because so we're not getting any dancers to come on the stage at this point?
At this point, okay. No.
I was really looking forward to dancing next week. It really was. I got an outfit and everything.
Oh, dear.
Yikes. And I mean, one of the things that's been really cool in terms of, like, giving our congregation, our church, the opportunity to engage in musical worship is we've had a couple worship nights. If you came to any of those last year, we had one in November and one in April this past year. And what was really amazing for me, both being a part of the congregation that night and being on the worship teams, is actually seeing our youth dig into worship. And to see our first couple rows here just filled with youth on their knees for Jesus was so, it's just inspiring. And so, like, they're setting the example for our church, which is so, so awesome. They've experienced the freedom that the Spirit can bring in worship. Mm. And I just see the joy, and honestly, I just see how much they love Jesus as they do that. And it makes me want to engage in worship and meet Jesus at the foot of the cross, which is really, really awesome. So great job, you guys. It's really neat to see you right up front every Sunday as well with your hands, you know, straight up in the air, just loving Jesus.
I love that idea of just, like, that freedom in worship being the heartbeat behind it all.
Yeah, you know, most revivals that have happened historically, if you study anything like that, I highly recommend it. You know, they usually begin with the young people.
Yeah.
You know, as we age, I'm old, so I'm in your category. As we age, we start to lose some of that enthusiasm. I love the aspects of giving space for things. And you'll notice already that things like communion stations, so coming up, part of the reason behind that is participation, right? It's like, rather than sit, wait, get served, never move, like, could you get up, participate, actually receive the elements? You know, this is the body broken for you, blood shed for you, and take communion in community. And so shifts like that, things like liturgy. We're not afraid of liturgy. There's some beautiful liturgy out there that could be used as a worship tool that's been very well thought through and very Spirit-led. But ultimately, when it comes to worship and the Holy Spirit, that is about us surrendering. And no band or no melody can cause that to happen. You know, we often fight about melodies. You know, what melody is the one that triggers my heart to love God? But the reality is repentance and surrender is what triggers your heart to love God and to worship Him. That's awesome. Do you want to? I think you should hang out with us. Just you can correct us along the way, and
I'm up here to make sure they stay on time.
Yeah, And I did forget to set my timer, so. thanks, Leah. And I'm excited about, I mean, it sounds so simple, right? Playing with the order of service and different things like that. And those are the things that the worship directors can work on. But ultimately, it's about us coming into this place prepared to worship, right? And with a heart of worship. And again, entertainment just isn't kind of what the church is in the business of, right? It's to offer opportunity for you to press in community together through different ways of worshiping. So the next thing we talked about was growing together. So I'm going to get, and Leah, jump in anytime you want. In the week that I taught on growing together, we explored the parable that Jesus tells us about the vine and the branches. And the main idea from that sermon was that Jesus wants us to focus on our connection with Him rather than on production. So often in the life of the church, what happens is we have to produce. Like you have to go out and make disciples. You have to produce those disciples. And so we try to formulate ways that we can do that. Or we feel guilty because, you know, the church isn't growing the way that we'd hoped to do. And we have all this pressure and all these things that are human-based and not God-based. And that really the scriptures are just saying, work on your connection with Jesus. Mm-hmm. And the deeper and more intimate your connection is with Jesus, the more apt you are to walk in and have a worshipful heart, regardless of the melody, the more apt you are and open to the Holy Spirit working in your lives. And that's the connection that helps us to grow. And we should be relying on Jesus to shape and form us as disciples, not relying on programs or other human ways of doing things. We do all of that stuff, but ultimately it's our connection to that vine and the vine feeding the branch that causes the growth. And so, Brad, can you share a little bit about how you've been thinking and praying through ways in which WMB can work toward a deeper connection with Jesus? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was kind of neat. Maybe a month ago as a staff team, we had a staff meeting. We laid out our entire like annual calendar on a huge piece of paper that went across like the wall of the chapel and put sticky notes and put up all the programs we were offering, all the courses, all the events, everything. And like, it was kind of neat. The thing was just covered in post-it notes of all different colors, of all the things that we had going on. And you know, at first glance, you get excited about it. You kind of go, wow, this is really neat. Look at everything that God's doing. But then there was also something within me that just kind of said, whoa, look how much we've got going on, and have we been focusing on programs over that connection to Jesus? And have we accidentally, perhaps coming out of the church growth movement, been tied to this? If we've got enough stuff going on, if we're participating in enough things, and just going to something, is that really fostering our relationship with Jesus? And I think when I looked at that, I kind of went, is this it? Is this all there is to following Jesus? Attend some courses, attend a gathering, go to a youth event. And of course, the answer is no, right? You mentioned it. What we're really looking at is connection to Jesus over production. Something I used to say to our youth leaders all the time was that relationship is the vessel in which the gospel is trusted. And so youth ministry is so incredibly relational. It's why you do the ridiculous games and retreats and you spend all this time with kids. You take them to Sky Zone, you break your foot like Emily did. You know, all of this stuff, because it builds trust, it builds connection. And then they trust you when you say that Jesus loves you. And in a similar way, it's the same in growing with our faith. Our connection to Jesus, the time with him, our relationship with him, that's where the money is, right? You know, growth is not a solo sport. You can't lone wolf it when it comes to growing in a relationship with Jesus. And I actually appreciated that when we talked about growth, we didn't just automatically go to the spiritual disciplines. And that's absolutely important. That's a huge part of it. In fact, I would say if you're not practicing kind of the individual spiritual practices, like spending time in prayer, solitude, silence, scripture, you know, that's probably going to be a problem. But at the same time, that's not the only thing. That's why we've been talking about gathering. And it's funny because I've heard from people over the years, you know, deconstructing millennials that, you know, I love Jesus, but I hate the church. And I understand where the heart comes from behind that. You know, I get it that people can have frustrations with the church. I appreciated that you even made an apology one morning when you talked about how we as a staff team have taken on too much. We've controlled things and we haven't allowed the church to be the church and using their giftings. You know, that was really good. But, you know, there's a lot we could point to in terms of frustrations with the church. And yet, at the same time, I hear a statement like, I love Jesus, but I hate the church. And I go, well, then you hate the head of the church. He's part of it. It's not just something you do on your own. It's not something you can just lone wolf, as I said. Following Jesus, living life, growing in your faith is designed to be done in community. We're communal creatures. God made us that way. He said it's not good for the man to be alone. You know, we were made to be together and to grow together. And that is just, that excites me a lot. The times I think, you know, looking back on my life, when I've grown the most in my faith, one moment I can point to is when I was in my first year of college at Redeemer University, and me and all my stupid roommates, we would do a weekly Bible study together. We ended up sharing our testimonies together and eating way too many Doritos. And it was
never
so
too many,
good.
Never
oh,
too
I can many. Tell you there was too many. Yeah, I won't go down that path. You know, but yeah, I think back to that time. that was where God worked on me the most, because we were constantly coming to his feet together. Yeah. Another thing I can point to is just even this past spring, I think, I just texted a whole bunch of my buddies. I said, hey, guys, Nate and I are hosting a campfire. We're going to ask a leading discussion question. Come in and have some fun. And the question was around, like, what have you faced in your life that was the most challenging? And, like, every single one of those guys shared something deep and profound and how God had been at work in their lives. It was awesome. It was just amazing. It made me just kind of go, like, oh, this is what I think I've been longing for and what I'm longing for our church. It's not just a program. It is deep connection with other people. And that leads to growing together. It really does. So when I think of my new role in terms of discipleship ministry and just what that looks like, you know, I'm in a bit of dreaming mode right now, brainstorming, meeting with people. Michelle Knowles and I, who's discipleship pastor in Kitchener, have been talking lots about what are we calling our home groups to? What are we offering as a church for ways of people to have, you know, kind of next steps in their relationship with Jesus, and then leading into, like, honestly, ongoing steps, ongoing practices that you're going to constantly do, never going to grow out of. And how do we create an actual, like, pathway to point people to in terms of, hey, if you want to grow in your relationship with Jesus, try this. Try this next course. Try this joining a home group. I know we just met with ours on Tuesday, and it was just really nice. It was actually really life-giving just to say, hey, you know, can we commit to doing this together?
Yeah,
so I'm pretty pumped about that stuff. There's going to be more coming down the lines for sure. I love when you were talking about, like, freely worshiping. I think of what it would look like to worship in a living room instead of just here.
Yeah.
You know, someone grab your buddy and his guitar or a piano and just worship together in a living room. Study scripture together. Do book studies. You know, take the risk of being real and honest and vulnerable, especially in that little group of two or three, as you mentioned. Yeah, man, so there's more coming. Discipleship pathways in the works. I think it's going to be really good. We can have another campfire if you want. Does that sound good? We'll do another campfire? Yeah? Okay, cool. Yeah, man, does that answer that question?
Yeah, for sure. And, like, I think it's interesting that you brought up the statement. I hear it all the time, right? I love Jesus. I hate the church. Jesus is the church, right? Mm-hmm. Like he's the head of the church. That's an impossible statement. What it is that people have let you down. Jesus has not let you down, but people have, and people are part of the church, but the head of the church will navigate those things.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we need to stay, in order to stay connected to the vine, you actually need to stay connected to the church.
Yeah.
Isn't that ironic? Don't you think?
One practice that came to mind too is, like, as a group of people, as a home group or a group of friends, is to serve together in some sort of capacity. Right?
Yeah.
To not just think about what am I doing to, like, make my life better. It's like, what am I doing to serve my community around me as well, but in community?
Yeah, and when we say things like pathways, so essentially be thinking, like, what are next steps? So whether someone's new, whether someone is, like, new to faith, new to WMB, what's their next step to engage in the life of this church? What is your next step in discipleship? And so working with you to help you in that continuation of being connected to the vine and growing. And so Brad and Michelle and team are kind of working through all of that. Again, though, this involves, and I'm going to keep hammering this, you're going to get really sick of this over the next while, but is that it actually involves you. So it's not all about the staff creating these programs in these ways, but it involves you knowing your giftedness and then living into that. And so if you have a gift to teach, then you should teach. That's what Paul says, right? If you have a gift to evangelize, then you should evangelize. If you have a gift to pray, then you should pray. And so what we want to do is hear from you about those things and then begin to shape ways.
Yeah.
And so we'll come up with this, like, a pathway that's far from perfect, but we really want to invite you in your gifts into that. And so the serving, you kind of alluded to that. And so that week I taught on serving. We looked at two verses, actually. And so Romans chapter 12, where Paul talks about us all being part of the body of Christ, where Jesus is the head of the body, and we've all been given different roles in the body. All of us, everybody in this room has been given a role to function in the body of Christ, that Jesus has given WMB all the gifts that it needs to be the church that God has called it to be. We're not actually waiting for someone to show up with the right gifts. Literally, right here, right now, we have every gift that we need to be the church that God has called us to be. If we're not living into that, then it's because we haven't activated those gifts. And so again, you can go back to that series, but we need to live into these gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us. And so we will be offering ways to help walk you through this. I keep telling the staff's role is to encourage and equip, to come alongside you and to help you in through this journey. But often, many of you are way ahead of many of us. And so sometimes you can play a different role and you've got some great ideas. And so we wanna hear about that as we begin to live into our giftings and function as the body. And then we also explored the parable of the talents. Now, this is the fascinating part of you hear preachers all the time talk about live into your spiritual gifts, live into your spiritual gifts. But scripture in Matthew 25, Jesus actually teaches us that it's not me that's going to hold you accountable to how you, whether you lived or didn't live into your gifts. Like, it's not actually me. You don't have to be afraid of me or Brad or any of the staff team or any of the board. We're nothing compared to Jesus. And that you will one day stand before the Lord, and he's given you gifts, and he's going to ask, how did you go about using those gifts? And we talked about that in Matthew 25. Go back and read it, the parable of the talents. And I said in that our time, our talents, and our treasures are not actually ours. They're all his, that we are stewards of those things. And so if you believe, how many people believe in the sovereignty of God? Yeah, most of you? All right, so you just said it's all his. Right? And that we are stewards of what is his. And that we will stand before him one day and give an account for how we stewarded what God has given us. And so, Brad, you've been living into this, actually, in a really fascinating way. I think the way that I've been dreaming where some of this could lead into. And so many of you know that Brad had taken on young adult ministries. It's like 2 years ago.
2 years ago,
something like
yeah.
That. And so can you tell us a little bit about how you've restructured some of the young adult ministry? Because I think it's a great example of
where absolutely. I'm going to do that by calling on Trisha Snyder to come on up here because she's really the one who's been living into this. Yeah. All I've done is step aside. And that's been really cool. So in young adults ministry, you know, we've had a specific pastor for that ministry for a long time. We don't anymore, straight up. We've been shifting away from a staff-centered ministry to a student-led and lay leader-run community. And that's where Trisha comes in. And it's just been really cool to watch how this has unfolded. It came out of studying a book together and just kind of praying into some of the angst we felt of feeling like it was at times consumeristic, and it felt like, actually one thing I remember significantly of when I first started as young adults pastor is Eden Graham, in her wisdom, when I asked, hey guys, what would you like young adults to look like? She said to me, we don't want it to look like youth group 2.0. And the whole time after that, all I felt like it was kind of youth group 2.0, to be honest.
Yeah.
And so we just felt this kind of angst. There's a tension there that we wanted to, you know, shift away from. And so Trish and I have been working together through this. Trish has been serving as a leader within our young adult ministry. She's a young adult too. And so, Trisha, would you just tell us a little bit about what you have been doing, what our ministry's been doing together, because you've been doing a lot of really cool stuff. I would just kind of love to hear that. And what's been exciting for you in this process as well?
Yeah, thank you. So I took some notes and I wrote this completely separately of these guys, and just listening to them now, you know, if you kind of hear what I'm saying, it's going to really resonate with what they were just saying. So, but just keep in mind, we didn't write our notes together.
That's cool.
So for some context, over this past summer, like Brad was saying, he walked myself and some other young adult leaders through a book called Sustainable Young Adults Ministry. And it really helped us to start thinking a little bit differently in a really good way. And what's been the most exciting for me personally is to have shifted my focus a lot more intensely towards Jesus, mm-hmm. and to really be listening and paying attention, firstly, to how he's been working in my heart and increasing my faith and helping me to grow and mature a lot more. And then secondly, just allowing the Holy Spirit to work through me to love and to serve our young adults. And I've been given so much more energy for this than I had before. It's actually been really neat just to see how much energy I have to go and serve that way and how exciting it is for me. And then the third thing from there, I use my actions as an example to call them into loving and serving each other within the young adults community, and then even to extend that back to the whole church community, however they are able to. So that's kind of how it's been working for us in our community. And with having this intense focus on Jesus, kind of where you have this posture of saying, you know, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I really like it because it takes the pressure off of stressing over the quality of a production or being fixated on the number of people that come to a Bible study or the number of people that come to events. I told you this is like the same thing that they just said. Sorry about the repeat. But instead of focusing on those things, it allows for more productive and honest conversations and just to feel that genuine sense of connection with the young adults. And from there, it is actually a lot easier for me to share the gospel with somebody who hasn't heard about it before or to walk in discipleship with them. So, it's a lot of the same stuff, actually. Mm-hmm. And it creates a safe space and it's very supportive for them. And that can have such a profound impact on a person's life rather than just having a program.
Totally, yeah. Mm-hmm. I love how you have you've got a young adults WhatsApp chat. If you're kind of 20 to 30 years old, feel free to come and ask me about that, or Trisha. And I love that just after your small group gatherings, you send a video to everybody and it's just 16 people packed into a basement worshiping.
Yeah.
Someone's got a guitar, someone's on the piano, there's no mics, there's no rehearsal, it's just worship. And it just looks like everyone was really loving being in that space, but it's so free. And it's just really cool to watch that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. Yeah. The engagement with the young adults has been really, really good. So Bible studies at my house with people bringing guitars, playing the piano. Someone brought a ukulele and I think a harmonica one time.
It's no kazoo?
Not yet, but we should. there's no restrictions on the instruments. and then also the other cool thing that I've seen them doing is they've wanted to lead sort of a student-led and volunteer-led gathering once a month. So we sign out the chapel and we coordinate our own dinner, icebreaker game, worship music, a guest speaker, and communion. So, and that's just been something that we've been doing without the staff. So, and it is really nice, like you were saying, to gather sometimes in a larger group, not just in the smaller groups.
Yeah, it's been really good. It's amazing. Earlier we talked about how, you know, backing up the bus meant thinking about what it means to being a spirit-led, Bible-focused, spirit-led, Bible-based, missionally focused,
that's right.
Local church.
Something like that, yeah.
How have you seen that kind of playing out in our young adults community already?
Yeah. I've seen some things already and also have some ideas of what it could look like in the future. So it's been really encouraging. We've had some adults come alongside of us and help with carpooling, going to the retreat or getting to Bible studies, and that's been really, really great. But I was thinking of that question a little bit more as the broader church and how we can sort of engage and love our young adults a little bit more. And what I see a really big opportunity for some of the more established adults. I don't know what really, I guess it's just an adult when you're not a young adult. You're a grown adult. those ones, the general adults, they're a bit older, more established. For them to come alongside our young adults in a mentorship capacity. Mm-hmm. So right now we have about 40 young adults in our group that are actively engaging in one capacity or another. Some are a lot more engaged than others. And then also about a third of them are relatively new to Canada.
Yeah.
So the opportunity that I see at this stage in life for young adults is that they have a lot of questions and needs about very practical things that that general adults can easily help them with just because we've all been there before. So it could be like, how do I get winter tires, or something that's practical. I need to move from the bedroom that I'm renting right now across town and I'm new to Canada. Like, how do I move my couch when I only have a bus pass, or something basic like that, like a practical thing that's easier for us to think about, but maybe hard for them. So there's lots of opportunities to come alongside them with really easy and practical things, but kind of like the events that we run, it's just a connection point. It's a way to get to know them a little bit better, help them out a little bit. And from there you can grow into a little bit of a deeper relationship with them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because you've been helping with everything from moves to rides across town and meals, and it's good. But we don't want it to just be on one person, even if that's a volunteer. It's like we want to be a team together to care for our young people and call them in to care for each other. I know they've been doing a lot of that too, and it's so good. Thanks, Tricia. I really appreciate you speaking into this.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Okay.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, it's interesting too, like even as Derek has been shifting into his new role in youth ministry, he now has 18 adult leaders that are going to help pour into the life and this is how the church functions, right? Somebody like Tricia steps up and leads, but then calls others in. How can you mentor a young adult? There's people here with a gift to do that. Yeah. And so we're saying, can you do it?
Yeah.
I think the answer is yes.
Take them out for coffee. We've got a budget line for that. Seriously. Yeah.
Yeah. Easy. Easy. Spending church's money. Anyway, I'm kidding. So this is, that's really kind of the heart of what it is that we're really calling us into, folks, is that we really believe that we have all the gifts that we need. Now, this local church focus, it means that our Barnabas missional expressions are also moving into a local focus. I won't get into this too much today because in November, we're going to dig a little deeper into what some of that means. But it does mean that Barnabas will be focusing on our local relationships, particularly within a couple key neighborhoods near the Waterloo site. And so Barnabas is speaking into and assisting, what's the phrase that Steph uses?
Shalom.
Doesn't matter, I just won't say it. Yeah, shalom.
Shalom.
We're still kind of working out what some of this looks like, and it's going to be a bit of a big transition because some of the things we've been doing in Barnabas have been, you know, KW, like region-wide, and so we want to narrow that focus on that. But there's more to come with that in November, and so come to that service as well. Okay, finally, we got to get moving. In the final teaching of this series, I reflected on the mandate that Jesus gives the church, the Great Commission. We're all probably familiar with that in Matthew's gospel, but we actually didn't spend very much time in the Great Commission itself. Instead, we jumped over to Luke's version of the Great Commission, and we established that Jesus invites us into his story. That's a key theological statement, that Jesus is actually inviting us into his story, calling us as the church to continue the work of bringing everything together, things in heaven and earth through him. That shifts how we think about mission a little bit, that we've been called to join God on his mission of reconciliation, that we're called to live into that mission of reconciliation at work, at home, or like I said, even in the lineup at Tim Hortons. Mm. Everyone is called to live out this Great Commission, to join God on his mission. And so we will be offering ways in which everyone can be invited into this reality, ways for people to serve others by using their gifts. And so Leah, you were part of a focus group that worked on this for the Waterloo site. So in the process, we developed these different focus groups that studied specific areas and worked on how would we go about being the local church. They even drew out boundaries and all these different things. So could you share a little bit about what we're calling touch points? And how they can be used to live on mission.
Yeah, so this is where I get really excited, and I also get a little nervous. I get nervous because even though you may see me up here on the stage most Sundays, I'm actually a very, very introverted person.
Really?
So what we're calling touch points are basically, they can be events or programs. And a really great example of this was our barbecue that we had a couple weeks ago here at the Waterloo site. It's not having these events or programs for the sake of having these events or programs, right? We're not having a barbecue just for the sake of having a barbecue. There was a very intentional, strategic plan behind having that barbecue. And one of those was just for us to be in community, right? Just to gather together. I heard stories of someone who has been attending this church for 10 years. They met someone else who has also been attending this church for 5 or 6 years. They've never met. And that barbecue was that first time that they actually met. And now they see each other in the foyer and at church on Sundays, and they've made this connection and continue in relationship. And the point is of having these touch points is to create a space for relationships to start to begin and to foster. And so, you know, Brad talked about, you know, youth earlier, and how something like a retreat is a really great opportunity for people to really be together and to start building those relationships. But one of the things that, you know, we've talked about of not having, we don't want to be programmatic in nature and put all of our eggs in the program basket. There are going to be things like youth programs, maybe a barbecue, maybe something else that will give you an opportunity to engage in a touch point. But we really want to encourage you to think about your life and say, where in my life can I create my own touch point?
That's good.
So for example, Brad and I have made a school drop-off and pick-up our touch point. We realized it's an opportunity as we're standing in line with our kids where we can engage with our neighbors. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them aren't Jesus followers. And it's not engaging with them to convert them. It's not a project. They're people, and they're people that we really, really love and care about. And we've made drop-off a touch point where we can just be intentional and ask our neighbors and our friends, how are you doing? Like, I heard, you know, you had to take your kid to the hospital last week. Like, is he doing okay? Like, and just loving people well.
Yeah.
We don't want you guys to wait for the church to put on a touch point where you could say, oh, I can invite my neighbor to that, or I can connect with someone there. Like, really think about your life and say, where every day can I create a touch point? Maybe that's work. Maybe that is school drop off. Maybe that's piano lessons or something. I don't know what it is, but it's really exciting. It's a little scary, and where I say I get nervous is because I'm an introvert, and that means I do have to go out of my way to make conversation. Brad is typically the one that will engage the conversation first, and I just kind of come along for the ride. But I've stepped out in obedience and to say, I can't just rely on Brad to do all that. Like, I have an obligation to serve Jesus and to love people the way I love people too. And sometimes that just means stepping out of my comfort zone, doing something that I'm not necessarily, you know, something I'm going to jump at. But yeah. It's exciting.
It's exciting. Fun. And you do it really well. You really do. And you make way better homemade salsa than I ever could. And that is very helpful. Very helpful. You know, and that's really a call to live on mission, right, guys? That's what this is all about. It encompasses all of your Christian life, which is why it's so important that we remember each of these practices function together. It's not one without any of the others. They all have to happen. And as a church, there are ways in which we are going to actually focus in on missional engagement in local and global ways. Like, yeah, we want to encourage you to have those touch points for yourselves, but we are also going to say, how can we do that together? And so I would love to invite up our last interviewee, and that's Renee Cerez, who has been my longtime friend and colleague. We've been serving in youth ministry together for a long time, and she's recently moved into a new role here at WMB. And I want to hear from you, your insight to this. What has God been saying? So Renee, could you just share a little bit about what God has been speaking to you? Like, what have you been dreaming about when it comes to the way we live on mission here as a church?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so hello. I am now the pastor of missional engagement here at WMB. I was talking to my brother about that yesterday, and he swears he had no idea, and I definitely told him many times.
Was that James or Christian? That
James,
was James.
Yeah, that was James.
Nailed it.
And I'm really excited to dream, I think, is the big thing. It's so easy to run ahead with a lot of ideas I have. Because who doesn't have ideas, right? Like, there's so many options and potentials, but it's so easy to run ahead with my ideas and to run ahead with things I know will probably work and not to wait for God's ideas for mission at WMB and mission through WMB. So really what I'm really dreaming of for this go together is to pray. I'm dreaming of prayer. Because what on earth are we going to do if we're not joining what God's already doing? Like, we can get so far, but it's not going to do anything if we're not joining in what he has. And sometimes we can see prayer as kind of like the coward's way out of, like, oh, I'm going to pray about it, and then the professionals over there are going to take care of it because I prayed. And sure, that can happen sometimes, but when we pray about going on mission, when we pray about sharing the kingdom of Jesus with people here and near and far, we need to pray with the expectation that God's going to tell us what to do about it. Not just that he's going to tell someone else, but he's going to tell me. When I come up and ask for prayer for family members who don't know Jesus, I need to expect God to tell me how to talk to my family members who don't know Jesus, and how to engage with, again, what he is already doing, because he wants us all in his kingdom so badly, more than we ever could. So he is on it. And I just really want to sit in prayer and ask how I can help. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So good. Thank you.
I think that's what I was planning to say.
Awesome. Anything else you want to add?
Sure. In that prayer, I would love to see, and again, this is currently a me and idea, or like it was also Jeff's idea, but I'm going to say it's mine. It was like currently us idea, but and hopefully it's God's idea too. But we would love to see teams of prayerful people around our global partners. We are partnered with so many amazing people across the world who are building the kingdom and building the church. And I would love each of those partners to have a close team of WMBers praying for them, encouraging them, supporting them in friendship, and visiting them. Like, we're planning to go visit Sarah Reed in Austria next fall, and that's so exciting. And I don't want that to just be a pop in, pop out, but I want us to prayerfully join around her and her ministry and be a part of what God is doing through her. Yeah.
So good. Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks for that. Yeah, so just before I go, because I got to go, I'm doing a baptism in a minute. Before I go, just essentially we really battled with how to do this. Like, how do we now wrap this up? I taught for 4 weeks on this. How do we wrap this up? Because so many people are just probably asking for a list of programs that we're going to live into as a church. And we really felt that that was not the right approach, because the church isn't about programs. Programs come and go. And often we get so attached to a program that we detach from Jesus. And we hold the program like it's Jesus. Programs are just tools that are used to create these touch points, to create these different avenues and ways for each of you to serve. And that is really the big vision here, folks, is to be this Bible-based, Spirit-led, missing one thing, local
mission
church.
Mission focus.
Yeah. Local church. And yeah, I knew it needed to be shorter. Anyway. And that is by calling you into living your giftings. Yeah. And the staff team making space and ways for that to happen.
Yeah.
That's really the vision.
Yeah.
Is to be the church and to live into the church. And so there'll be a list of programs. You go on the website. There's stuff we're going to do. And all of those things, but it's all with that intent behind it. And so we need 18 leaders pouring into the life of the youth. We need people to pour into the life of the young adults. We need more people engaged in the life of the seniors. Like all of those different areas. And then we could crisscross, you know, seniors could pour into the life of the youth. Imagine that. Fred, I know you have something to give to young people because I know you.
Yeah.
Right? And so the wisdom that Fred can bring in all of his life, or the learn what not to do from Fred's life. You know, all of those different things that we can, I've known Fred for years, so I can jest with him that way. But folks, that's really it.
Yeah.
If we're going to be that local church, if we're going to be the church, we need to activate our giftings. Mm-hmm. And we have not always made space for that. And that is what we want.
And to hold things with open hands.
Yes.
Right? That goes for staff and for you as the church to hold your giftings, hold programs, hold Sunday services with open hands, because yeah. if we do this, we're quenching the Spirit and not allowing him to work. If we have open hands, there's going to be change, right? Change is hard. But if we are willing to surrender that to Jesus and to say, use us how you want to use us, not how I want to be used. Yeah. But it's amazing what God can do. We just mm-hmm. need to let go.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. it's really cool what happens.
Yeah.
I'm going to let Brad wrap yeah. things up and take a little bit of time because I got to get changed.
Don't forget to take off your mic pack.
Yeah, hopefully.
Especially if you use the washroom first.
Can never take the youth pastor anywhere.
Nah. Well, interviewees, thank you. Can we give them a hand? You guys can have a seat. Thank you. Yeah. To wrap things up, I just want to share that lately I have been thinking a lot about kind of this weird paradoxical tension that we often live into in the Jesus way. Here's what I mean by that. Throughout scripture, we often see seemingly contradictory things play out. Yesterday I was at a wedding where we talked about how Psalm 22, which is a cry out to God for help, is right next to Psalm 23, where it's about this abundance of being in relationship with God. How Jesus wept over his friend Lazarus, even though he knew he had the power to raise Lazarus from the dead and was going to do that. Or the way Jesus prayed in the garden the night before he went to the cross, and how that was in anxiousness that came out in sweat dropping to the ground like drops of blood. Even though he knew that the cross was the way to bring his beloved creation back into relationship with God, to defeat the power of sin forever and to conquer the enemy. This was the way. And yet there was still this tension. And in the Christian life, we live this out each and every day. We are put first by placing ourselves last. We get back at our enemies by loving them unconditionally. In our weakness, we are made strong by the Spirit's power. Loss becomes gain as we come closer to our suffering Savior. But the big one that I've been thinking about, especially as we've been thinking about what it means to be the church together, is this. Jesus once said, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it." My friends, here's the paradox. We find life by laying it down. That's where we find our true life. This is our calling. This is the invitation. Come, lay your life down at the feet of Jesus together. That's what we want to do as a church. That is the call. And in each of these practices, Jesus is calling us to lay it all down, to partner with him in God's mission. It is God's mission. We may not want to get up early in the morning to come to a gathering, but we choose to gather and worship because we know this is about being part of something bigger than ourselves. When we become more complete, whole, and mature, as we grow, we become vulnerable and real. This is where real growth happens. We expand our capacity to love when we put ourselves last in service of others. And we live into the mission of God as we go with the greatest message our world has ever heard and ever will hear. God loves you. That's the calling. Come, follow me, is what Jesus says. The worship team, you guys can come up, and I'm going to pray before we see our last baptism. Lord Jesus, thank you for who you are. Thank you for this invitation, this place to just come and be at your feet in your presence. I think of how your disciples would try and follow so closely to you that the dust that was kicked up as you walked would cover their robes and their feet, that we may walk in your dust because we are so close to you, God. Jesus, would you speak to us? Would you ignite our hearts with a passion to serve your church, to serve you? Call us into our giftings, Lord. May we go with this message. May we gather together. Would you grow us and lead us closer to who you are? We look forward to what you're going to do, and I pray that we would just continue to be in that posture of receiving as we are brought closer to you, Lord. Make us more like you. In Jesus' name I pray, and all God's people said, amen.